Hi, I'm Misra Kwonga.
I'm Ian Wright.
And I'm Ryan Hun.
And collectively, we are the Stadio Podcast and Wrighty's House on the Ringer FC feed.
Yes, we are.
We come to you three times a week on the Ringer FC feed.
Bringing love. We're bringing love and football.
So if you like zooming out and zooming in on football and all the stuff around it, make sure you follow Ringer FC on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
How's that, Rai?
I reckon I'll do.
Yeah, man.
My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder. Hello, friends, and welcome to this playoff edition of Fairway Rollin', the golf podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I am your starter, Joe House. It's Sunday night, and there's exciting golf happening. I'm here to tell you it's happening in Toledo, Ohio. And there was also a golf tournament down in Atlanta, Georgia. That golf tournament should be going to a playoff right now between Kevin Na and Jon Rahm, both of whom shot 14 under in this hot competition down in the ATL. But that's not what's happening. Our PGA Tour correspondent on the ground, Nate Hubbard, as always, is sitting right here on the Zoomer, blessing me with his beautiful locks. Nate Dogg, how you doing, buddy?
Is it weird that I spent more time watching the Solheim Cup and the Korn Ferry Tour Finals than this until the last couple of holes? It was fun to see Justin Thomas have to make a $600,000 putt. And 18 had a little bit of drama thanks to Patty Ice taking a patty dump on 17. But otherwise, I don't know, House. Is this the right format?
You know what? It's the right format for the Who Gives a Shit Championship, which we have
for the money grab.
Yeah, right. Like, of course it's not the right format. There are a million ways to skin this cat. We will only spend 60 seconds here on Fairway Rollin' because there's lots of podcasts out there in the golf world where people have made these very same complaints, and they're all viable, legitimate complaints because the format stinks. But we're not here to try and solve the PGA Tour's $60 million problem. They can figure out themselves. If their primary sponsors are happy with this goofball format, then who are we to challenge? I mean, God forbid. This is the one thing I'll say, and it's a point the Shotgun Start guys have made 10 billion times, which is right. You can simultaneously have an award for somebody that wins the season and also conduct an event called the Tour Championship. And you can have two people win and show up on the stage. Congratulations for winning this four-round tournament. Congratulations for winning the season. Sometimes it'll be the same person. Yeah. Sometimes it won't be. But like we
That's
are
what happened
all,
when Tiger won.
Right. We're all grown adults. We're all capable of having simultaneously, you know, happy thoughts for two outcomes and rewarding two champions at once. So that's the only comment I'll make.
The problem is they awarded the FedEx Cup branding to FedEx, but they're so deeply invested in Eastlake with all of the charitable work they've done on the ground and the relationship with Coca-Cola and Southern Company. I don't think they can sort those two things out. And so we just have this sort of hodgepodge of, wait, who, you know, who's winning? Who cares? Is, as you said, that we did, however, this week, learn some things. We learned some things about the Ryder Cup in particular. And we also learned some things about maybe who should be player of the year. We also learned some things about who might have lied about their health status.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of it. We, you know, the happiest potential announcement of the entire week was the idea that Netflix might be getting involved with, well, it's not might be, they are getting involved. The PGA Tour and Netflix have combined forces, and there is at least notionally a behind the scenes kind of show that could be like the outrageously interesting Formula One focused series Drive to Survive. The thing I wonder about, Nate, is the candor that is so important. Now, a lot of it we've come to understand from the Drive to Survive folks is kind of, you know, manufactured drama. We can live with that. But will the tour be able to permit that out of its own players? Will we get any drama out of that show? Who knows?
Who knows? Let's hope so, because there is a lot of drama behind the scenes.
And that's the point. Yes, yeah. Sir.
I mean, interestingly, this week, there was no drama from the one guy who came in bringing all the dramas, and that was Bryson. He was relatively anonymous this week. I think that's how he wanted it. Not that he played any differently, but I think, you know, him not being in the throes of competing maybe was a good thing for him.
And we forecasted when we did the show last week with KVV that this was a kind of a perfect opportunity for all the Bryson Fuhrer to hit pause, that there was likely to be kind of a quiet week for Bryson. Not we didn't know how he was going to perform, but it just felt like even if he was in the spotlight, Eastlake, this venue, this setup, the who gives a shit element of it, was not going to produce, you know, a lot of Brooksy action out there.
And there was a little bit, of course, he birdied like three holes right down the stretch to make his performance this week look better than it was. He was pretty middling out there, but nothing on earth. I mean, look, this course, do we like this course, House?
Have you played it?
No.
I played it a bunch. I have a good pal down in the ATL. Shout out Gump. And it's fine. You know, it has, what's cool is that there are no members. It's a corporate membership into the thing in the Atlanta area. And it has all the Bobby Jones history. And, you know, it's been touched by some, you know, it's been touched by Donald Ross. There's some real vintage architecture there. It's fine. It's a fine menu. Look, and the history stuff is very cool inside the it's not even a clubhouse. I don't know what you call it. It's like more like a museum.
I mean, I'm perplexed by the results. I mean, you said Rahm and Na should be in a playoff right now. Rahm was fifth off the tee and 22nd in approach. He lost two strokes. He was first around the greens, fourth in putting. Na made only one bogey. He was 24th off the tee and lost two shots off the tee, but was second in approach. So these guys did it totally differently. I'm not even sure what it takes to do well on this course. When we came in, it seemed to be pretty clear that shots gained off the tee was the way that you win this tournament. You know, Nah obviously threw that to the wind and just was so great with his short game. Other than that, you know, Jocko Neiman playing this course in a minute 50 or an hour 53 kind of made a joke of the whole damn thing. I mean, he could have played harder and potentially made, you know, another $50,000, but he sort of seemed to concede that he was going to finish DFL, which he almost didn't, because fucking Colin Morikawa is lost.
And well, no, only, no.
He's lost.
This is, yeah. So he's not lost, Nate. He's hurt. I'm absolutely convinced, having watched the entire playoffs, these performances, and this really does dovetail nicely with what I think is the most interesting thing to talk about, because we can really rev up in earnest the intrigue around the Ryder Cup. Colin Morikawa is hurt. Whatever's going on with his back has affected him, is affecting him. The last three, all of the play, he skipped the first playoff event, and you know the Caves event. He was near DFL, but you know it just didn't matter.
DFL, he was DFL today if Jocko Neiman had played in, you know, an hour 54 instead of an hour 53. Instead, they shot the same score. I mean, come on.
He wanted the East Lake all-time.
The all-time, which is nothing because Wes Bryan has the all-time record and it's way cooler than what they did. He worked harder.
I know. So, but whatever. At least I like Jacko at least like taking it for what it is, right?
Thank you. Thank you for making it fun and making a mockery of the fact that you can do that and still walk away with not $395,000, because that's what Brooks got for withdrawing with a bad wrist. But instead, he's going to make $405,000. So, look, there's a ton of money that comes out, but let's get to the meat of this, because, I mean, Morikawa was hurt.
Yep.
Brooks is now definitely hurt. And sorry to the Barstool guys, they're not going to get their lefty thing. I mean, this is an injury he's had before. And, of course, he assured everybody coming off the course, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. How many times have we heard that about the knee and the hip and whatever else? And then you're on the ground, and his caddy and trainer are stretching him out on the sixth tee at, you know, at the PGA at Harding Park last year. And you're like, everything is not fine. So we got those guys hurt. We got Jordan dropping a +4 today. Did not feel great about him this week. The question is, who are the captain's picks? What are we going to do? Scheffler was +1 on Sunday. Not great this week. He didn't really, you know, separate himself. If you were picking momentum picks, you'd go, Kokrak was sitting there. He played the tournament in 6-under. Kevin Na looks pretty good. What are we going to do about Patrick Reed? Just tell me. we said we'd save it for the pod. So just tell me. I mean, listen, 72 Thursday, 69 Friday, 66 Saturday, 71 today. It appears that he lied about his COVID status. But if you read between the lines, what the press is telling you is what we were talking around on the pod, which is he had COVID and he developed double pneumonia out of that. And hey, that's a bummer. And we're glad that he's okay. Is he in good enough health to play the Ryder Cup? And is he in good enough game form to be on the team? House, what are we doing?
Nate Dogg, when it comes to the topic of Patrick Reed, I have some news for you that I'm not sure you're going to like. Patrick Reed is going to be on the Ryder Cup team. There is now no doubt about it whatsoever. It. What he just proved to Captain Stricker is that he is healthy enough to play four rounds of competitive golf. He walked all four rounds. The mission, and we talked about this again.
We don't need Weekend at Bernie's
show.
At Whistling Straits.
Well,
come on.
Here's the thing, and I don't have the strokes gained data in front of me right this second, but I bet his short game stuff was pretty good, because his short game looked pretty good to me. And honestly, that's the key attribute I think that they'll want out of Patrick Reed for the purposes of the Ryder Cup competition. Plus, you have to remember, this is a guy.
But he has to hit drives.
Yes, he does have to hit drives. But Nate Dogg, the way this is lining up, we have a minimum of 5 rookies on this Ryder Cup team. Morikawa, a rookie. Cantlay, a rookie. Xander, which is weird. We had to confirm this. We had to do a data check, confirm that with some data. Rookie. Harris English would be a rookie. Daniel Berger's played in the President's Cup and not the Ryder Cup. So 5 potential rookies. And in this situation where we have potential injuries to Brooksy and Morikawa, now whoever replaced Morikawa, if he's really truly hurt, would also be a rookie. If we get a replacement for Brooksy, maybe not, right? Like, so then maybe that brings in Webb Simpson. You know, maybe because we still have an open question around this alternates idea. We talked about it last week's pod. there needs to be alternates, both for the purposes of the COVID and for this injury dilemma thing. that we're encountering.
I just look. You asked about his shots gained numbers. Here they are. He was 20th off the tee out of 29 guys.
This is Patrick Reed's shot. Strokes gained. Okay.
He's 27th in approach. He lost over 5 strokes this week. And you're right. He was 6th around the green and 8th in putting. That's again out of 30 guys. So
I know, but they're not chumps, right?
But on the alternate
shot. And he was in a hospital bed 2 weeks ago, right?
But I know he's got to be on the first tee in 3 weeks.
Those are soft hands. They might be what Paul Azinger would call Spanish hands.
Why are you talking us into Patrick Reed?
I'm just telling you, I'm not talking us into anything. He's going to be on the team, buddy.
God!
He's there. He's earned it by way of the point system. He's in the top 12 by points. And he just demonstrated that he's healthy enough to compete. And you know, we expect there won't be any setbacks between now and the actual thing. Patrick Reed's playing in the Ryder Cup. I just want you to get in touch with that reality, bro.
And Scheffler basically played his way out of any chance this week because he didn't do anything interesting. You have to take Harris English because of his season, but he was not particularly impressive this week. And what's interesting is this is only going to be the second time that Thomas and Bryson and Finau are in this event. So your argument is it's toxic. It appears that he was untruthful about his health stuff, but we're going to let the piss into the punch bowl because it's a little too sweet right now and we need some bitterness.
Well, I just, you know, if the point is to win, if the point of this, and it seems like, you know, the way the Ryder Cup started off, like, you know, poor Samuel Ryder, he created this event for the purposes of some of the themes of golf that some people would argue have been lost. And we would like to see the collegiality, the camaraderie, the, you know, a spirited competition across the pond. And now it's a little bit of, you know, fuck your mama, which we're going to, you know, hear a lot of at Whistling Straits, I expect, even with, you know, the request for improved behavior across the golf world. I mean, I expect some FYMs out there. And especially because the Euros are lined up. Sergio Garcia is on the Euro tour. And I think Ian Poulter's done enough to get himself
on the team.
Onto the Euro team. Both of those guys are going to make the Euro team, which is awesome. We have our villains, right?
And Victor looks good. And Rahm looked, I mean, the intensity of Rahm this whole week was worth the channel flip away from the more interesting golf events in the Korn Ferry Tour and the Solheim. Just to see him methodically trying to track down Cantlay. And I don't blame him for thinking it's a stupid format. I'm not sure it is a stupid format because I don't have a better idea. But I do think watching Rahm just try to reel him in and just relentlessly chasing him was awesome. I think you did text me, though, that him missing the putt on 17 makes you feel better about the Ryder Cup.
Well, I mean, you know, he could not make a putt today, and he still shot, what did he shoot? He shot 60.
2 under.
Yeah, okay.
68.
But he burned so many edges. He had the opportunity to take the golf tournament from Patrick Cantlay. By the way, Patty Ice, kind of funny, 17th hole last week, smacked it into the water. 17th hole this week, got the great good fortune of bouncing one off a tree. Then he got a Bermuda launcher that went over the green. He left it in the Bermuda, as we all are inclined to do, with the third trying to chip it on.
I recognize that shot a lot.
Tiny bit. Oh, I am so familiar. But then, you know, there's a reason he's number one on tour this entire season in scrambling.
Yeah.
He scrambled his way into a bogey, and Rahm's opportunity to go grab the golf tournament and really turn up the pressure was the putt on 17, and it touched an edge and went away. So yeah,
I liked his 218 yard 6 iron into 18, though.
Just the tiniest bit of bad luck, both on the fact that it didn't land 1 foot shorter, so it didn't stay on the green, and also his chip for eagle really could have gone in. It was an awesome chip.
Yeah, I do think that Patty bounced back with a 361 yard drive on the last hole, and then putting that. He hit a 6 iron to 11 feet, which was the closest shot into 18 all day. So he did stand up, but he does have that moment where he wobbles a bit coming down the stretch before righting himself.
So do 30 seconds of this with me. We're going to do superlatives at the end of this calendar year because I just refuse to honor this ridiculous fiscal year nonsense the stupid tour does. But let's do this. Your player of the year right this second, having watched the conclusion of the tour championship, go.
John Rahm. He was in everything. He won one more event than he was given credit for, and he performed well in basically all the events that mattered.
So here's if I wanted to take a contrarian stance, and I'll try and muster it. I don't really feel this, but I think Patrick Cantlay has a legitimate argument for player of the year now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that makes the whole thing a tiny bit delicious is John Rahm's COVID at the Memorial created the difference between the two of them entering this tour championship event. If John Rahm had gone on to win the Memorial, whatever points he would have had would have put him undeniably, irrefutably in first place coming into this tour championship event, and he would have won the $15 million. They would have swapped positions, right?
But John Even Rahm if... did win the Memorial, but for a stupid... Hey, well, rapid test.
Life.
False positive.
Life. Oh, false positive. Wow. That's where the Nate dog goes. But it is those two guys from that event. Now, I was just trying to come up with an argument for Cantlay. I don't believe it.
It's a bad one. I mean, look.
I don't believe it in my bones.
But two weeks ago, you were arguing for Morikawa.
I'm out. He's hurt. He's out. He can't win.
Rahm finishes the season first tee to green shots gained, first total, first in scoring average. He wins the U.S. Open. I just don't know how you don't give it to him. He was always hanging around the events that mattered. Even when he didn't win, he was there through the FedEx Cup playoffs, through the majors. But look, there's a whole lot of crown and a patty ice right now. I would like to see him do this in a major, not just a tournament in which he, who happens to be a good front runner, by the way, he got to sleep on a lead and got an advantage.
He is a good front runner. I'm excited to see him on that Ryder Cup stage. He really did show us something. I like Patty Ice. It's a good nickname. I'm glad we got some
smiles
time
from
with him
in the press conference today.
We got
somebody coached him up.
We got some time with him the whole week, and he was pretty candid. Like, he's got a head on his shoulders that's
very
attractive.
Thoughtful.
We like some of the stuff that we heard him on the Bryson thing. I thought he was very judicious. He's like, look, if we're in this world where you're going to go on to social media and try and make yourself a prominent public figure, then you got to take some of the heat that goes along with it. On the other hand, it's out of order with how we do our world in golf. I thought that was pretty thoughtful. I mean, you know, it covered the bases, and we're talking about this tension, and we're going to keep talking about it. And especially, I think, in the context of the Ryder Cup, like, there is a coarseness that has now encroached into the American sporting public's behavior. Encroach? I don't know. It's landed there already.
Yeah. I mean, look, we talked about it. The anonymity of sitting in your basement for 18 months yelling at people on Twitter is carrying over to the golf course right now. And I do think, for all the criticism of the commissioner coming up and talking about Bryson, it felt like it threw a little bit of cold water on that by the time this tournament ended this week.
Well, I'm interested in seeing the behavior at the Ryder Cup because we have a reputation now. We have plenty of evidence, too, of, you know, pushing the envelope in terms of the behavior and the fan involvement in that event, right?
Yeah. So I want to bring it back on the Ryder Cup just to be totally clear about what we think is going to happen here. With Patrick Reed in.
He's in.
So who is getting the shaft here, assuming Brooks Koepka stays in and heals up? The guy who gets screwed off the team is whoever was going to get the nod between Webb Simpson, Scott Scheffler, Kokrak, Burns, Horschel, Nah. And by the way, you could come out of this week and make a compelling argument for Nah, Horschel, Kokrak for sure.
Berger's 12th. Berger's going to get it. That's the answer. The only way that Webb or Scheffler get in is if they create alternates.
Right.
Or
and somebody gets sick.
We have pullouts.
So you think it's going to be the top 12 in points. He's not going to pull anybody from further down the list.
He doesn't need it. What? Why? Why buy the headache? What's the point of taking on the headache at this stage of the game? What would the principal basis be for rolling out Daniel Berger and rolling in Webb Simpson?
I'll tell you, you wouldn't roll out Daniel Berger. Berger's in.
Okay.
You would get a phone call from Spieth and Thomas, who are on a Challenger jet back to Jupiter, Florida right now. And they call over the Wi-Fi network to Stricker and they go, I don't want him on the fucking team. We don't want him on the team. We got through this dinner with Bryson and Brooks this week. You know, it's going to be bad enough. We can't have him in the locker room if we're going to win. That's the case.
I mean, I love the intrigue of it. I love the drama of it. But what's the incentive for those guys?
It's Jordan keeping Isaiah off the Olympic team.
Which one of Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth is Michael Jordan in this?
I think you have to mash them together.
It's Justin Spieth. Okay. All right.
It's Justin Spieth.
Do they do that to my man Reed? That's the question. Would they do him like that? Would they do Patrick Reed like that? He just survived. I mean, he literally was on death's door, if we believe the story. I don't mean to make light of it, by the way. I mean,
we're glad that he's healthy. Yeah.
I mean, definitely fucking serious. It was serious enough for him to have to drive 15 hours because his doctor told him, don't get in an airplane with your lungs in this condition.
Well, and we talked about that. Like, something's not totally right because he's road tripping. I think he got, at best, confused about whether he was tested for COVID coming in the hospital or not. At worst, you know, he didn't want to talk about what actually happened there. Uh-huh. I think it's still an open question. I think you're right. Patrick Reed's going to be on the team, but I just don't put out of your mind the possibility of some last second drama here. Look, Phil is now a vice captain. Phil's very close to Bryson DeChambeau post-match. He's a big advocate for Bryson. So there's going to be some, some behind the scenes machinations that we aren't totally clear exactly how this thing's going to wind up. Although I think you're probably right. The top 12 guys in the points are going
to
get it.
If you ask me right this second one to make a guess as to how this is going to play out, my guess is that Brooks is going to pull out because he's hurt.
Really?
And Webb is going to slide in. I mean, that injury sucks. That would be my guess. Just my gut instinct because of all of the health stuff we've seen with Brooks Koepka over the last, two years. My instinct, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong. I want Brooks Koepka in the Ryder Cup. I'm just nervous. I'm worried. I think he'll be out. I think Webb will be in, and I think we'll have two alternates, and the alternates will be Scottie Scheffler and Kevin Na. That would be my guess. I think Kevin Na earned today.
I think he did.
And over the course of the whole season. And
I think he did too.
I love his veteran kind of presence. He's a veteran on tour, is what I'm talking about.
I think I would pay $10 a day to just get to see him walking in putts on Whistling Straits.
He's got some swag. Like,
yes.
America can get behind Kevin Na. The golf public is already there.
Yeah. He doesn't do so well with noise in his backswing and movement. That's the only thing I worry about. He's one of the guys who just gets rattled by that shit, but he also loves the crowd and he loves the walk-in. I don't know. I think, like you said, he advanced his stat. He was not in the conversation even last week for as well as he played, but he definitely is in the conversation for me now.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the playoff right now with Jon Rahm. They're going to figure out who's going to win the tour championship. Yeah.
They're on the ninth playoff hole. They just keep playing 18 over and over and over again.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. to find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
House, are we going to win the Ryder Cup?
Well, did I confess this out loud on this podcast yet?
I don't know, but you might as well, because we're going to spill the beans in some other format. So you might as well just tell them what I've known for a month.
I bet against them. I mean, I just think
it's crazy. You know,
I do think that the European formula of, you know, some chemistry, making sure that there are vets who can provide some protection for the young guys, just the overall approach that the Euros take, it's a winning formula. And, you know, I respect the attempt by the US team to create pods and come up with this, you know, approach where guys who get along can sort of, you know, spend time together and not have to necessarily try and get along with the entirety, although it's not that many guys. But you know, we tried, the US did, after the debacle at Glen Eagles with Tom right. Watson and Phil Mickelson. Phil. To create a kind of you know, collegiality, camaraderie amongst our team where the guys can rally and root for each other. It's just not in the U.S. players' mentality. We've touched on it before. These guys are all independent operators. A lot of them are pals. A lot of the young guys are pals. We like to see it, but they're not, there just isn't that kind of camaraderie. And so and the Euro team is stacked. Like, Rahm, Rory, Hovland, like they're good. It's a good
team.
They're
good at golf.
They're formidable. Ty Hatton is, you know, has been good sometimes. He's a bum in the majors, so I don't know what
to do about that.
There are some names out there on that Euro team that's like, those are formidable guys. Sergio and Poulter are both, you know, heavyweights, Ryder Cup heavyweights.
There's no doubt about that. The thing that made me nervous, and you will attest to the fact that on this pod, we have been talking about our concerns about the Ryder Cup from a U.S. perspective for a year. Literally last September, we talked about it, and then we said, all right, it's too early, but I'm a little worried about it. The thing for me that put me over the edge this week was Stricker coming out and dropping the bomb that Eldrick Tiger Woods is not going to be there and that he's just not in good enough physical shape to be there. And
so
that,
why did that feel like a bomb to you?
Because I really thought that with Tiger on site, he could sort of alpha these guys into, like, Phil's almost becoming like the happy clown in a good way, you know, but I don't know that maybe he's going to walk in the room and give people a beat down the way he did, you know, on the Watson side, and behind the scenes, he's going to be tough, but it's going to take a lot of buy-in for that. Like, if Tiger Woods is there, he could just radiate the shit that's going to be in that locker room out of the room, I feel like. And with him not there, it feels a little loose.
This is a great point. I really agree with you. I strongly agree with you. There is a palpable, measurable difference between what Tiger physically would be able to convey in that room against what he's going to convey on Zoom calls.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I mean, look.
It's going to be a Tiger Woods podcast to these poor guys.
They played hard for him at the President's Cup. There was no drama in that locker room.
Yeah.
And here, you know, look, I think there's a lot of respect for Stricker. There's no doubt. But I think it actually matters that Tiger's not going to be there because, to your point, you know, we'll talk about this, but when you bet on the Ryder Cup, the first decision you have to make is, does team chemistry matter or not? And if you really believe it doesn't, then you're going to bet on the US because we got more golfers who are at the top of the world rankings. But if you don't, and if you look at the history of this event, it suggests that team chemistry matters. You're going to have a lot of concerns for all the reasons we just listed. Patrick Reed's probably going to be in the room. Bryson and Brooks are probably going to be in the room. And, you know, Spieth and Thomas will be in there sort of sneering at all of them. Who knows? It's not going to be a great bunch of hang time that happens with that team.
Well, there is an interesting thing here. If Brooks genuinely is injured, right?
I know.
Doesn't
I
that
know.
Change? Maybe I need to go hedge my bet. I need to figure out how I'm going to hedge this.
If you really if think Webb, Brooks is pulling out.
If Webb is Bryson's handler. Now, Webb and Bryson did not have a great outcome in France, but like none of our guys had really,
nobody's
really great. Yeah, I mean, nobody played.
But he's
in
also
France.
A lot better now than he was in France. This is a different golfer than
Excellent
he was
point.
In France.
Yes, so, and different golf course. Most importantly,
yes, and he's going to eat it the fuck up. So
he is going to eat it. This we'll hear this 5,000 times between this when we publish this podcast and the Thursday of the Ryder Cup. Just think about that Jason Day driving performance
right.
when he won the PGA Championship and drove the mother effing ball. It felt like 300. It got to the point where Jordan Spieth is laughing, walking up. He's like, I can't believe how far you hit this, Jason. And he's playing with him in the final twosome at the PGA Championship on Sunday. And Spieth is like, I just can't believe how far. Wait till we see Beefy Bryson out there.
I know.
Now I'm talking myself into the USA.
I know.
Well, speaking of, look, this podcast will be up early enough, either Sunday night. We're taping this. This is Sunday night after the Tour Championship. It'll be up either tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. The thing that you need to watch, the truly important golf that's relevant and worth watching, is happening in Toledo, Ohio. It's
yes,
the Solheim
it is.
Cup at
yes,
Inverness. Why hasn't there been any major championships? I know that Andrew Green's restoration was done and it finished in 2018. Inverness needs to be in the Rota.
It looks
awesome. A golf course. Holy mother F.
Yeah, it looks terrific. And the drama is great. And the play's been pretty damn good. And I'm loving everything about it. It was a lot more interesting than what was on NBC, unfortunately.
Well, we have, you know, some great storylines among both sides of the pond for the women. And you know, there is genuine collegiality, camaraderie, but some breakthrough performances already. Jennifer Kupcho, some unbelievable stones. And we kind of had a premonition with that. She showed us the preview when she won the very first ever women's tournament at Augusta National, the junior, amateur event. Spectacular stones on Jennifer Kupcho, so to speak. But the U.S. battled back. They were down 5.5 to 2.5 or 5.5 to 1.5, whatever it was after day one, battled all the way back. It's 9-7 going into singles tomorrow.
Nelly got to step up tomorrow.
Turn on your television and watch this unbelievable golf course and these women go out and kick ass. It's awesome.
Yeah. Also worth giving a shout out to Justin Lauer, who made 3 birdies on the back 9 in the Korn Ferry Tour Championship to get himself into the very last spot making the PGA Tour. They interviewed him yesterday and he broke down in tears.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was just cool. I walked with him and his wife in Columbus last week and couldn't be a better guy. And just a great gutsy performance down the stretch to get his card and finally get himself up to the tour. So there's been some great golf.
Justin Lauer, open invitation to come on Fairway Rolling anytime you want, brother. We would love to celebrate that story. It's great every year. You more than anybody in the golf world, I hear, really dive into the drama of the relegation that occurs. But you know, when we have these success stories out of the Korn Ferry, a true playoffs where guys are truly playing for their effing careers.
Yeah.
The drama is real and the grind is real and the outcomes are real outcomes, like with the homie breaking down because he accomplished something that's been his life dream. Nate Dogg, speaking of life dream, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we are back as the Ryder Cup comes into focus. We're going to have a couple previews. We're going to do some green rooming and we'll have a Ryder Cup immediate reaction right after the cup has, you know, I think landed, I'm going to say with the Euro, but look, I don't know, you know, we'll just see how it all plays out. I mean, you know, we don't have to predict any of that stuff right now.
You're the guy who plays the Soviet Union and bubble hockey at the arcade. You're against us. Come on.
I just like winners. I just like Fair winning. Enough.
That's
you
like
all.
Money.
Yeah. Birdie buddies, Eagle enthusiasts, all of our par saving pals out there. Thanks for listening along. We got great feedback last week, Nate Dogg. I heard from a ton of people about the conversation with KVV, enjoying the pod. Thank you to everybody. We're back in just a couple weeks with the whole Ryder Cup preview, breakdown, analysis, and maybe some wagering tips. I mean, you know, that's a very fun thing to have occurring right as the NFL season gets going. You know, fill up your dance card. Why not? Get some golf parlays, some cross-sport golf football parlays. It's all out there, my Eagle enthusiasts. Until then, let's all hit them straight out there.